Sunday, April 29th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So first, my apologies about the recent absence. As you can see, I've been in the process of moving locations, so I will do my best to broadcast as often as possible over the next week, and as always, as much as possible moving forward. So to begin, I'd like to talk about something that I think is important. It's something that we're always talking about, but something that has really stood out to me specifically in regard to Syria and the OPCW fact-finding mission. And that is what we've been seeing is the refusal to acknowledge what's actually been happening there, and really more so that many people are so blinded by the propaganda from the mainstream outlets that they're not even aware of what's actually happened, despite outlets like myself and other independent media incessantly talking about it. And recently, the OPCW fact-finding mission did in fact visit Douma in Syria, as well as join the briefing that basically just dispelled all of the lies the U.S. has been propagating about the entire Syria event, having doctors and one of the children from the video all speaking out about how ultimately there was no chemical attack. But even in this recent video that I did, there are people commenting saying, but the OPCW has never even been to Douma yet. I wonder why. Russia's been stopping them, and kind of just regurgitating those mainstream lies. So first, I want to point out very clearly that on the OPCW's own website, the right here, the article is clearly stating that they've been to Douma and plan to visit second sites and plan to visit again. And this is not disputable. So the fact that many people are even unaware that they've been able to actually investigate the site is a clear example of how the mainstream media controls the narrative for the people that only watch their content. And, you know, as I tell you guys all the time, you shouldn't be trusting anybody, not even myself. You should be out there looking at any number of different sites and information from mainstream media to alternative media and coming to your own conclusion about the information you see. So what's really important, kind of a call to action today, is to make sure that not only do you digest this information we talk about every day, and as well as many other sites, but that you take this information and you get it in front of people that are not seeing it or would not otherwise be confronted with this, and show them how much they're being misled by the mainstream agenda and what they're intentionally omitting from the larger story. And as we point out all the time, all too often, by simply extremely focusing on events that happened throughout the week that are unimportant in the larger scheme. Specifically, recently we talked about the Bill Cosby story that just overshadowed everything else. Not that that's not important. Clearly, anything like that is absolutely newsworthy. But for it to take front page of every single outlet on both sides of the aisle for most of the day, while the briefing was happening with the OPCW and all the lies were being exposed and any number of other important things we talked about, it really shows you that there's an effort to push certain things forward while keeping other things hidden. So it's very important to take this into your own hands and do your best to get this information in front of everybody else that you care about, as well as those you don't. It's important to spread this information far and wide. That's something to take with you throughout the day. So for our first story of the day, coming from ZeroHedge.com, the Pentagon's ray gun can stall cars, trucks with radiation blasts. So I always like to make an effort to discuss these new advances in technology and how they could affect us moving forward. And I think this is a very interesting one because honestly, I'm having a hard time finding, as many of you know, I tend to see this in the more pessimistic light in regard to these new advancements. This one, in a lot of ways, is non-lethal, and it seems to be something that I'm having a hard time finding kind of the negative spin on it, as if that's even necessary, but that tends to be where these things go. So feel free and reach out with how you feel this could negatively affect us, because I'm sure there are plenty of ways, but it's very interesting to see how this is developing. I mean, I think a large part of it is kind of just conditioning us to be okay with these kind of things in the larger scheme. But as the author opens, a new threat is quickly emerging in the West as 10 civilians were mowed down earlier this week in Toronto. Since 2014, Europe and North America have been inundated with supposed terrorist-led vehicle ramming attacks against civilians. According to Stratford Global Intelligence, a vehicle ramming attack is a new class of terrorism, which is less lethal but could prove more challenging for officials to prevent. Consequently, the JNLWD, or Defense Department's Joint Non-Lethal Weapons Directorate's top priority since the threat's first appearance in the Middle East, have been to advance technologies and capabilities to non-lethally stop both cars, trucks, and even vessels. And I think that's important right there. Vessels is an interesting addition to that in the larger scheme. One of these non-lethal technologies is the multi-frequency radio frequency vehicle stopper, which uses a high-powered microwave to stop cars and trucks in their tracks without damaging the vehicle or its occupants. Now, that's something I would argue is maybe there's more to that, I would argue. I mean, clearly this kind of thing has negative effects. We can look up research on simply how microwaves can affect somebody. So this kind of intense radiation, I guarantee, has some kind of effect. They probably just, you know, justify it by saying that in the burst that it's using is not enough to really hurt you in that moment. I would argue there's more damage in the long run than they're letting on right there. As Defense One explains, quote, the jammer works by targeting the car's engine control unit, causing it to reboot over and over, stalling the engine. Like an invisible hand, the microwaves hold the car in place. Anything that has electronics on it, these high-powered microwaves will affect. As long as the device is on, it holds the vehicle stopped. Interesting. Now, clearly that has to do with more advanced cars. So I'd argue that maybe these older models without kind of microchips and, you know, before a certain year, this probably wouldn't affect. So it's interesting to see that dynamic, because clearly if somebody was really intent on driving a car into citizens, that they'd just find an older car that this wouldn't affect. So maybe there's something there to consider. I truly do feel that this is about kind of normalizing these energy-based weapons, and not just in the hands of military, but in normal everyday policing of Americans. And that's a very kind of scary thought to understand, because this will eventually, and clearly probably already is being developed, to go much beyond just simply non-lethally stopping vehicles. We've already touched on the idea of these sonic weapons and how they've been tested, even in the one in Cuba with the U.S. diplomats. These things are very real, and they've been researched for a very long time. We even recently talked about the leaked information, accidentally released on the FOIA request information about these different kinds of weapons and how they affect your body and your brain. So to understand that these things are now slowly kind of becoming normalized in everyday use, especially kind of trying to frame it as this, you know, Middle Eastern idea of these driving, you know, incendiary devices, where now we're seeing the driving attacks happen in the U.S., so we need to find a way to stop them. It's interesting to see how that's happening, and I clearly think this is leading into the more normalizing the idea of using these kind of energy-based weapons here at home. I just think it's a very alarming precedent and step to take there. But I do think I'd see the positive idea of using a non-lethal weapon to stop these kind of things. But I just always wonder, in the hands of whom, right? I mean, what kind of people are using these, and the intent behind them very much makes a difference on where this thing goes. As the author writes in the end, in the not too distant future, directed energy weapons for non-lethal applications could be coming to a downtown near you, all in an attempt to thwart terrorist-driven vehicle ramming attacks against civilians. There's also points to discuss as far as the agendas behind these vehicle rammings, and not even to get into the whole MKUltra mind control aspect of that that could and very well does apply to all of these kind of things, but how they're being used and in politics in general, any kind of event like this is going to be used to further their agendas. But there's a lot of ways to take this, and I think it's an interesting thing to look at and kind of, you know, just digest and keep this on the back burner for as these things move forward, because I definitely think there's something behind this. Moving on to the next story, coming from ZeroHedge.com, North Korea vows to shut reportedly destroyed nuclear test site. This is really a very great thing at the end of the day, and in the bigger picture here. And now, unless this is all some elaborate trick, which it certainly could be possible, but if not, and I don't think so ultimately, but you know, you never know, but this, if not, this is a monumental step in the right direction. Now, this is a site that has been reported that essentially that it has recently collapsed. There's kind of created like this eco disaster in the area. Kim Jong-un has kind of denied that to some degree, saying that it's not completely collapsed. There's other tunnels that are open. Anyway, this is the site that he's discussing saying shutting down. And we've also seen just a lot of kind of concessions in the recent weeks where they're talking about shutting down their programs and suspending their nuclear efforts, which is a huge, huge step in the right direction. But as I've often argued, I do not think that this is what the Trump administration or the kind of elite Washington entities truly want. So I think there's a lot of resistance here, despite what they're trying to claim. And I do think right now that, and in a way, Trump kind of has no choice but to support this due to Kim's actions, because they would paint him exactly like we've been talking about. But I, like I said, I still maintain that this is demonstrably what the leading forces in Washington do not want. And whether you're talking about just war efforts or just the idea that they keeping North Korea as this villain enemy, it allows a lot of freedom to do things that would otherwise not be allowed to happen. But I think it's important to see how this progresses forward and see how the U.S. responds to this, especially with the upcoming meet between Kim Jong-un and President Trump. And it's important to note that apparently senior South Korean officials are in fact crediting this success to Donald Trump. But nonetheless, we have to understand how the United States is a huge factor in controlling South Korea. It has been for a long time. So that doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. But I don't want to jump the gun and say that it's not. Maybe this is all Trump's big master plan and he did this fantastically, and so good for him. If what he did is directly causing the peace happening here, then I would give him the praise for that. I just always have to point out that his actions, as well as the administration, all the way up until this point, has been literally the diametric opposite of causing something like this to happen. He even claims basically that, you know, the strength and the threats of force are what causes to happen. But really, it's not even just threats of force. What we've seen is outright provocations and the opposite, where we also have to remember that Kim Jong-un has offered this many times, the idea of denuclearization. All he asked for was the United States would stop doing what they were doing, and they refused to listen. Maybe that's something that Trump never got word of, which is very possible, and is kind of the way he's kind of controlled and managed in the White House today. But we have to understand that regardless, this is something that he's been trying to accomplish this entire time. And now that South Korea has kind of taken that bridge gap there, they've finally said, okay, let's make this deal amongst ourselves. And now that they are, Washington's kind of forced into the corner and has to kind of say, oh, good, let's make peace, even though everything they've done has been to the opposite. Now, again, I have to say that it's possible that I'm misreading the entire situation and this has been Trump's plan all along. Anything is possible. But all we have to look at is what's in front of us. And the facts on the table paint a very clear picture that that's not at all what happened. According to the article, it says, during Friday's meeting, Mr. Kim said that he believed Washington was inherently hostile to the North Korean regime, but that he was confident U.S. officials would be convinced he isn't the, quote, kind of person to launch nuclear weapons toward the U.S. The North Korean leader also said at Friday's summit that there should never be another war on the Korean Peninsula. Now, that's a very interesting way to put that. I mean, I think he's making the point right there that Washington has been inherently hostile towards them, and that this has been something he's been trying to accomplish, which is very easily verifiable. It's just been manipulated. He puts these statements out, and the mainstream media cuts it down to the one part that basically says, if they don't do this, here's what's going to happen, and they just show you the end part of his statement, making it seem like he's this irrational lunatic. And I always think that's important to point out, that how did we go from him being a irrational lunatic murdering madman to all of a sudden being very honorable? You know, it's very interesting switch there. All of a sudden, because he's on, you know, going along with what they claim they want, it doesn't make sense. Because if he's this irrational lunatic, then he wouldn't be immediately okay to work with. It's just it just shows you how much they manipulate the story to achieve their political goals. As Trump stated at a recent rally, I'm not going to give you what's going to actually happen because we don't really know. But I'll tell you one thing, we're not playing games, which is such a quintessential Trump statement there, really kind of, you know, leaving it open for who knows what might happen. We might just have to back out, and kind of leaving it with a weird threat there. So, you know, he always has to play to that base because his people expect him to be like that, right? He also said, quote, if we would have said where we are today from 3 or 4 months ago, remember, they were saying, quote, he's going to get us into nuclear war. Strength is going to keep us out of nuclear war. It's not going to get us in. Very interesting statement, very revealing at the end of the day, because clearly that's not necessarily true. Threats of force can absolutely get you into nuclear war. And the point is that just because it turned out this way does not necessarily mean that those threats of force were what led us here. Certainly it's possible. But again, with what we're seeing in front of us, I highly doubt it. Moving on to the next story, coming from collectiveevolution.com, another Hollywood arrest. This time it involves sexual abuse of children and trafficking. Now, we've touched on this before, yet it's important to get this out there and reiterate that the mainstream media, is shockingly silent on this topic, and seemingly all topics that expose the abhorrent and sinister insight into the elite world of sex trafficking, and specifically child sex trafficking. And that truly has to show us something, especially when they blare on about Bill Cosby's story during the time when their lies about Syria were being exposed. We have to stand back and see that they're willing to focus on one thing and not the other. And not only that they're not talking about this, but it's completely absent. They've touched on the story in general, but the fact that they're failing to acknowledge the real story behind all of this, the trafficking aspect and the pedophilia aspect, it really reveals to you their inability, or rather their, you know, someone behind the scenes not allowing them to do it, of covering these kind of stories, and always how it relates back to political elites and Hollywood. But in this case, a man named Keith Rainier and his company called Nexium, it's actually spelled N-X-I-V-M, offered executive success programs wherein women would be lured into offers of Hollywood success and then be forced in any number of despicable acts, only then to be blackmailed with images of them to accomplish whatever he tried to accomplish with them. Rainier was arrested in March of 2018 in Mexico on charges of sex trafficking. He's accused of raping girls as young as 12 years old, imprisoning a woman for 18 months, and much more. He's currently in federal custody in New York right now. The most recent information is that Smallville actress Allison Mack was a member of the cult and worked in a management position. Mack's job was literally to lure women into the programs under the pretense of female empowerment and self-help workshops, to then convince them to sign up for more advanced programs called Dominus Obsequious Sororium, which requires these women to basically turn their lives over to the cult leader, Keith Rainier. Dominus Obsequious Sororium is a quasi-Latin term that roughly translates into master over the slave women. Now, there's really no other way to see this story. And as I said, we've covered this a few times. We've written about it more than once. We've shared articles more than once. And we've talked about it on the show more than once. But this is a very big deal, because it really truly relates back to the heart of the issue, the crux of the issue that we've talked about so many times, and that there is a longstanding systemic problem behind the scenes in regard to elites, whether you're talking about political or in Hollywood. There is we've talked about this so many different times, and that there is a verifiable effort to not only cover these things up, but ensure that they never truly get held accountable, at least the people at the very top. Now, something like this is fantastic to see, because Keith Rainier is clearly being held accountable in this regard. But the fact that it's not getting any coverage shows you that you know, there maybe there's a reason that he got thrown under the bus, but why would they not be covering what's really going on here? That has to show you that there's something bigger they're trying to cover up. We've touched on the many stories, whether we're getting into Pizzagate or Pedogate, or the idea that Hillary Clinton herself was even called out by NBC, where they literally did a story about how the State Department was accused of pedophilia and how Hillary Clinton covered it up. But that was quickly scrubbed, and they don't talk about it anymore. So it's just very interesting to see how this plays out. This is something I highly recommend that we continue to get out there. We continue to get in front of people who doubt this kind of thing happens. It's not just some isolated event, not just some bad apple. There is a systemic problem in the elites of this country and all over the world in regard to this. John Whitehead did an excellent article talking about how the trafficking of young girls in this country is a huge problem, and the numbers would absolutely blow your mind. Of course, I'll include that in the show notes, and it really goes to show you that it's something that's not getting truly addressed. We can talk about human trafficking. We can talk about signing executive orders that don't really accomplish stopping the real problem, but the real problem is child sex trafficking in this country in regard to this topic. And it absolutely gets overlooked and it gets covered up every single day in this country. So we have to do something about that. Moving on to the next story coming from the antimedia.com. A U.S. ally is literally beheading people over nonviolent drug charges. Saudi Arabia, the United States' main ally in the Middle East, has executed 48 people so far this year, half of them over nonviolent drug charges. The kingdom also criminalizes protest and received widespread condemnation in 2017 for its efforts to execute 14 Shia minority demonstrators who protested during the Arab Spring. One of those protesters was a Saudi student who was arrested on his way to study abroad in the United States, and an advocacy group appealed to President Trump to intervene on his behalf. The White House offered no indication it intended to help him. Others who have spoken out against the monarchy have faced floggings and even crucifixions. Nonetheless, in 2015, the kingdom's representative to the UN Human Rights Council has insisted the death penalty is applied, quote, only to those who commit heinous crimes and threaten security. Threaten security. That's the important part that can be just lumped into anything they want to make it. Just like we talk about national security means anything they want it to mean. As the author writes, considering the Saudi kingdom has funded the spread of radical Islam around the world and has also been linked to financial sponsorship of ISIS and the 9/11 terror attacks, it is not surprising they continue to impose the death penalty against even nonviolent offenders and that they are one of the top executioners in the world. Meanwhile, the U.S. government remains fixated on largely unsubstantiated claims of atrocities by geopolitical rivals in the region, failing to display a modicum of principle in its ultimately tepid opposition to oppression and radicalism as it continues to facilitate the sale of billions of dollars worth of weaponry to extremist regimes. I mean, the hypocrisy here just needs to continue to stand out to us. It's something that I constantly harp on. But this idea that we can focus on one and not the other is just absolutely absurd, and it has to highlight where the real motivations lie. That has nothing to do with actually helping people. I mean, the simple fact that they're still doing, just carrying out crucifixions for any reason should absolutely blow your mind. And this is a country that is, like, absurdly on the Human Rights Council, but the fact that the U.S. continues to support them and ignore all of their atrocities while pointing out things that are verifiably false in other countries and using them to carry out these efforts. And it's also interesting to note here that we've seen recently in the United States how they are all of a sudden discussing about death penalty for drug crimes. Very interesting play there. Obviously, they stress the fact that it's only in extreme cases, but the fact that it's even happening in this country, even in regard to marijuana, should really be alarming, and how we're seeing these things kind of mesh together. And it should be alarming that that's even beginning to happen in this country, as we claim to be the exact opposite of that, and as we claim to be fighting things like this across the world. Moving into the final story of the day, coming from ZeroHedge.com, and yet another Wells Fargo banking scandal. As the author begins, is it Friday again? Must be time for another banking scandal. Seriously, these banking scandals are happening with such regularity and predictability, it would be almost comical were it not for the millions of people who have had their lives completely turned upside down for this. The latest transgression involves, once again, our dear friends at Wells Fargo. Bear in mind that the ink isn't even dry yet on the $1 million check that Wells Fargo wrote last week as a penalty to settle its previous scandal, where they defrauded 570,000 clients in a car insurance scam. By the bank's own estimates, as many as 20,000 of those clients may have had their vehicles repossessed as a result in their inability to pay for the car insurance that Wells Fargo illegally stuck them with. And speaking of vehicle repossession, in November of last year, Wells Fargo came under fire for illegally repossessing vehicles that were owned by members of the military. And there is a word for all of this. It's called fraud. And if you or I had committed any of these acts, even by the slightest degree, we would right now be wearing orange jumpsuits in a federal penitentiary. But a grand total of zero executives from Wells Fargo have been sent to prison or faced any charges whatsoever. In fact, the executive who was found to be the most culpable in the fake account scandal scored a whopping $67 million severance package when she left the company in late 2016. And the new CEO, who took over after the fake account scandal in 2016, has been rewarded with a 35% pay increase, even though both the stock price and the bank's profits have languished. Scandal number 867-2041 just hit the news yesterday afternoon. Wells Fargo is now being investigated by the United States Department of Labor. This time, the bank is accused of deliberately pushing customers into more expensive, higher-fee retirement accounts, accounts that are bad for the customers but more lucrative for the bank. Now, I highly recommend you dive into this article because there's a lot of information here, but the real point to take away is something that I pointed out last time we discussed this. I said, yes, the $1 billion fine that Trump gave them is a great thing. It's like we pointed out, it's more than anyone else has done, so I applauded him for that. But the real point is that it's just money, and that while they're making tens of billions of dollars in the same time frame, they just brush off the fee and move forward. And exactly like I said, this is just what we're seeing. That they're continuing to carry out these scandals and in these, you know, really defrauding people in every possible way they can find, knowing that all they're going to have to do is pay another fine and continue to move forward. Until these people are actually held criminally accountable, just like we would in even the smallest degree, they're going to continue to do this. And again, all of this, it has to show us where the real motivations lie. These people are far too intertwined with our political process to ever truly be held accountable. And until we see that kind of change, I don't think we're going to see change anywhere else. Now, it's very important to take all of this, and like I said in the beginning, we need to take this information, and especially today, get it in front of people that are not being exposed to it. That's very important. We have to begin to get this in front of the eyes of people who are fixated on the mainstream media. Even if they don't believe it, let's just say they reflexively call it fake news and walk away. You planted that seed, and slowly these things will begin to grow. And it's important that we do that. That's all we're doing here every day, is trying to get this information in front of as many people as possible. Now, as I continue to go through my move over the next week, I may be intermittent on my recordings, but I promise you I will record as often as possible. And the background might be changing, things like that, but I'll do my best to get this information out to you, because really what's important is getting this information in front of people who need to see it. And that's all we're here for every day, is to basically do the job of the failing mainstream media and fill that gap of integrity that they have left completely wide open. So do your best to do the same. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.